The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, so there's a delightful teaching. It's very simple, a little like a cliche that's said in different ways. Today I'll say it this way, that this practice of mindfulness, of insight meditation, Buddhist spirituality in general, is not so much about having a new experience, but seeing our experience in a new way. It's not about living in a changed world, but rather seeing the world in a changed way. So these sayings say something about how we see the world, our attitude, our approach. And if we are, certainly we can change the world. If the world needs to be changed, it's a good thing to do. But to expect to do all the change in the world and wait for that to happen for you to be happy, you might wait a long time. So when the Buddha was, there's a myth about the Buddha's awakening, but the myths often point to something interesting. And the myth is that after the Buddha was awakened, had his enlightenment experience, at some point, for a while, he just sat there and enjoyed the bliss of his enlightenment. At some point, he got up and he walked some paces away from the tree under which he had been sitting, and he looked back at the tree and he stood there for a long time, the myth says for 7 days, appreciating and having gratitude for the tree. And this idea that after his enlightenment he'd have gratitude, and gratitude for something as simple as a tree that shaded him, I think points to the way in which mindfulness practice, meditation, Buddhism begins to awaken our capacity for very deep appreciation and deep gratitude for this world that we live in. It's easy to protest already, hearing what I just said, because there's a lot of problems in this world. And some of you have a lot of challenges that you live under. And so, you know, it doesn't seem like it relates to you. Or how could that be? And gratitude, it sounds a little bit too romantic to focus on that. One of the great surprises for me in doing Buddhist practice was the number of, nowadays it's called positive emotions, positive states that came with the practice. And back then, when I was practicing, we didn't have positive emotions back then. So, you know, or at least we didn't have the study of positive emotions. It seems to me like it's only in the last 15, 16, 20 years that positive emotions have become a field day for psychologists and some wonderful studies. But, so I wasn't really thinking about those kinds of things when I was a new practitioner. But I was surprised that they found me. And one of the things that came to me was gratitude. And one of the strange things about the gratitude that I felt was that I felt gratitude without a reason to be grateful, which is very strange, because you should have reasons for doing things, right? But I think that So how does it work that you can have gratitude for no reasons? I also found that I had lots of gratitude for lots of reasons. I started to appreciate things much more and not take them for granted. And one of the ways I think this works is that is if you consider what blocks gratitude, what gets in the way of it. The Buddhist tradition says that greed is the primary obstacle to gratitude. Greed and gratitude don't go together. But being very busy, being taking the form of being very self-centered, wanting things for yourself, wanting me, myself, and mine to to get things, to want things, to have more things, to be excessively focused on one's own safety, one's own self-improvement project, becoming good, improving oneself. All these things can get in the way of feeling gratitude because there's no space and room for it. One of the, I think, remarkable things about the modern world that many of us live in, I guess all of us live in here, is how much is provided for us to support our life. How much has to come together and work for our lives to work. Or the, all the things, we benefits we get, all the kind of the infrastructure to, you know, to get us to our life to work is provided by countless millions of people and things. It's amazing what happens. It's very different than in the old days when we had to go out and hunt for our food, or we'd have to grow our own food, or we were living close to nature. I lived on a farms for a while, and it was a beautiful thing to live on farms. Grow your own foods, go out, I lived on a dairy farm, go out every evening and gather the cows together so we can milk them. It was great. The and what I've seen is that people who live close to nature, who people who live dependent on nature in that kind of way, tend to feel a lot more gratitude than the people who so much is given to them, so much is provided. I suspect that even the poorest among you here today live better than some kings have done. You have to go, maybe go back a few thousand years to find those kings, but you know, there was a time when, you know, the amount of stuff that you have is available to you is more than a lot of people in the world have today, or certainly have had down through history. And how much of the infrastructure of our life that we depend on do we just take for granted? I've lived in countries where if the telephone wasn't working and you call the telephone repair people to come, they would say something like, yeah, we'll be there. And, you know, it'd probably take 5-6 days. And, after, you know, and you're happy they came on the 8th day. But here, in this country, I think the telephone repair people come kind of the same day, don't they? They come pretty quickly.
Not Comcast.
Not Comcast. So the idea that we expect things to work, and if things don't work, then we get irritated, we're upset. It's a nuisance. It gets in the way of our life. You know, they gave us this window. You have to be there for 4 hours, this window, to come and get the repairs. My God, 4 windows. I have important things to do. It interferes with my life. This is a drag. And so they finally come, and you say thank you at the end, but you don't really feel thank you. You have to wait for 4 hours, you know, whereas eight days elsewhere. So I don't know if this is I'm expressing myself well enough, but the idea being that many of us here, there's something about our modern consumer society, our modern technological society, our modern kind of life of, you know, infrastructure that supports us, that I think makes it harder for people to feel grateful. Maybe it's easier to take it for granted. It's easier to expect it. Being a consumer society, it's maybe mostly about wanting things and having more. There's lots of people who their primary wish for you is great. There's a lot of people, probably more people in the world who have, there's some people in the world who want you to feel happy. People, you know, your family, your mother maybe, or someone, you know, there's people, somebody want you to be happy. There's a lot more than the people who want you to be happy are the people who want you to consume. Isn't that remarkable? There's people who, you know, spend all day, you know, figuring out, thinking about, not thinking about you particularly, but in the aggregate, you know, you're just one of those, the mass of people they're trying to convince to get their product and the advertisements and all this. Consume, consume, consume. you know, President Bush said after 9/11, consume. You know, it's very important to be a consumer. And so in consuming, in that kind of society, is there space for gratitude? Is there space for appreciation when we consume and then it's done with and then we're on to the next thing, to the next thing? Fear, the same thing. When we're living in fear, there's not a lot of space to be grateful. We're just concerned, always have our guard up. Something is wrong, something is dangerous, and we have to kind of take care of ourselves. So with meditation practice, for me, forces in the mind, they kept it preoccupied, quieted down. As I meditated, my mind and heart became simpler and simpler. And so there was a time when there was almost no greed, no desire. But rather than desire, there was a satisfying feeling of just being here and being present. Rather than being afraid, which I had a lot of when I was young, it was a sense of deep trust that I felt, just trust, just to be present. And in this trust and simple presence, there was space in the mind and the heart for other emotions to be there. And so the so-called positive emotions, it's almost as if these positive, so-called positive emotions operate the best when we don't try to make them happen, but rather we relax and allow them to happen. We make space for them to happen. And so it's counterintuitive to people who feel like they have to always be the doers to make things happen, if instead we're getting out of the way and relaxing and opening in a way that isn't just a couch potato, just not just kind of, you know, falling asleep and napping, but relaxing and settling and just being present in an alert way. And that combination of being relaxed and alert, present. So then, what flows from the heart? What flows out of us? And maybe for different people it's different things, but one of the things that came for me was gratitude. So I felt very lucky that I was practicing my early years in the Zen Center, where at the end of every meditation, they ring a bell, and then we would bow. And because I adopted that as a practice ever since, you know, I've been doing that for the last 40 years. So I come here, I do it, and so I think many of you do it because you see me do it. or maybe you've learned someplace else to do it. You don't have to do it, you know, put your hands together and bow. But I do it out of, generally when I end my sittings, have a sense of gratitude. And maybe it's gratitude for the sitting, gratitude for the people I sit with, gratitude. But just a feeling of gratitude, just how it is. It's very nice. So to have gratitude. So there is this whole school or field now of positive emotions, study of them, and there's plenty of studies now that show that the practice of gratitude, just a little bit of gratitude every day, reduces stress, improves sleep, produces more kindness. It goes on and on. Let's see. I'll read a couple of this. It's worth reading, I think. So this comes from the great authority, Wikipedia. A large body of recent work has suggested that people who are more grateful have higher levels of well-being. Grateful people are happier, less depressed, less stressed, and more satisfied in their lives and social relationships. So which came first? Were they happier, less depressed, less stressed, and therefore they were grateful? Or were they grateful, and because of that, they were happier, less depressed, and less stressed? Grateful people also have higher levels of control of their environments, personal growth, purpose in life, and self-acceptance. Grateful people have more positive ways of coping with the difficulties they experience in life, being more likely to seek support from other people, reinterpret it and grow from the experience, and spend more time planning how to deal with the problem. Grateful people also have less negative coping strategies, being less likely to try to avoid the problem, deny there is a problem. Isn't that kind of nice? It sounds like if you don't want to have any problems, you should not be grateful. Because according to this, if you're grateful, you're more likely to see it as a problem, not to deny it. Also, you're less likely to blame oneself. Grateful people sleep better, and they seem to be, and this seems to be because they think less negative and thoughts. Instead, think more positive thoughts just before going to sleep. So you can read Wikipedia. There's more and more. They're there. And there's lots to be grateful for. So sometimes since gratitude is such a nice thing, what are the simple ways, honest ways, that you can feel more, have more gratitude in your life? I think one is to kind of take a little bit of time, maybe just moments, to stop and notice what's happening as you're living. To notice that someone has opened a door for you. To notice that someone has done you a kindness. To notice that the electricity comes to your house. You turn on the switch. Do you even think about all that took? Of course the electricity comes. But wow. What if you turn on the switch and go, wow. Wow. How did this happen? You know, I was up at the Cow Palace this weekend. I don't know if you've been to the Cow Palace. I've never been there before. But there's a huge lot in front of the Cow Palace of electrical power lines and, I don't know, towers and all kinds of stuff. Quite impressive. Wow, I thought, wow. I flipped a switch. And what is it that supports it? And, you know, we see each other tonight because we have light. Isn't that great? I'm grateful for that. So what is it, you know, are there obvious things to be grateful for? Are you grateful that you have roads to drive on? Or are you upset that there's some potholes? You know, is the glass half empty or half full? Is the road half paved or is it half unpaved? Chances are that it's 99% paved. 99.9% paved, and there's like, you know, a few potholes. And so which do you emphasize? Which do you appreciate in the situation? I don't know why it is we pick out the 0.01% that's the problem, the potholes, you know, or, you know, what potholes do you have in your life? The 0.01% of, why are these issues just loom so big? Whereas, you know, 99.99% of what makes your life go smoothly, I think it's more than that, 99.99999999% at least, of what it takes for your life to go smoothly and happily. I mean, the number of things that have to work harmoniously in order for you to be alive. It's like, I can't stop the numbers 0.99999. I mean, your body, just your body, how it all has to work, right? And so, and then we focus on that 0.000001, whatever, that's not working. The internet's not working. You know, oh no. The internet's not working. What are you going to do? Could be grateful it's not working. So, it's really great to express gratitude. It's really great to receive gratitude from others. Someone to be thankful. It's nice to receive it. So that, you know, they say grateful, Say thanks in return. Thank you for that. And it's really nice to offer gratitude. It makes it for a better world for everyone. But don't do it unless you really feel it and really have the attitude of it or understand it. But to take the time to say thank you. To appreciate someone who does something for you. Are there people in your life who do things that you take for granted that would be a good thing to thank them? So here we are, for some people, it's kind of the season of gift giving. And it's a good thing to give gifts. It's a nice thing to do. But maybe it's a greater gift than a present is to offer gratitude, to give a thankfulness to each other for what we have and who we are and what goes on. It's a wonderful thing. So, this is my last talk here at IMC for this year. And so, part of the reason I wanted to give this talk was because I felt a lot of gratitude for all of you and people who come here and my chance to come and be part of this community for all these years and this year. I feel like I'm a better person because I get to come and teach here. Who knows what I would have been if I hadn't been a teacher? Where I got to get reminded all the time with all this stuff. It's great. And to be among people who are interested in practicing and their sincerity and dedication, I think it's a really great thing. I feel very grateful for this opportunity, this life. So as we come to this end of the year, what I'd like to ask you to do, if you're willing, you can sit quietly if you wish. But what I'd like you to do is to turn towards one or two people next to you, and share with them a few things that you're grateful for. Maybe some people you're grateful for, or some things you're grateful for. What are some things in your life that you're grateful for? And then after a few minutes of that, I'll ring a bell, and then we'll come back here as a group as a whole. I hope that's okay. So please, if you don't mind. So thank you for that. What are some of the things you felt in talking about gratitude and hearing people talk about gratitude? Does anybody share what you felt in doing that? You felt?
Oh, I'm sorry. Both fear and relief. Mm-hmm. Afraid would I be saying something that would sound grateful enough? and relieved that I was sharing with another human being.
Great. Mm. You were lucky.
Indeed.
I didn't have any kind of big philosophical grand notions of gratitude. It was just so primary as knowing that when I went out to my car, it was going to start, and that I had a nice bed to sleep in at night, and just little things like that.
Yeah, if you're able to be grateful for the little things, and you'll have a lot of gratitude, because there'll be a lot of little things. Yes?
We were talking about the profound and the profane. I think there are spectacular things to be grateful for, and there are very small, precious things to be grateful for. Sangha is really big for some of us over here, and we were talking. and at the same time something as simple as a flushing toilet that works.
Yes, great. Yeah. Thank you.
So for me, after I just like share my gratitude, I like just feel more happy. And at the end, when you ring the bell, I look around and I feel that people are like smiling, and just the atmosphere is just more positive and more happy.
Great, beautiful. So you felt happy, and it seemed like other people were more positive too.
Yep.
What are some other things that people felt today? So there's fear and relief and happy and... What other things, just in having that conversation?
I had a tendency to get caught up. So with the things that my gratitude partner was grateful for, when she'd say she was grateful, say, for her health, I'd feel like I was feeling grateful for that too, like grateful that her operation went well. So there was this sort of kind of reflection back and forth.
Mm. Is it symbiotic gratitude? Or
yeah, what? Or something, yeah, some kind of...
Great.
Yeah, I would just get caught up in it. So.
Uh-huh. Great, thank you.
So all of us were grateful for you.
Oh.
We have you. And this also reminded me of a retreat we did with Temple Smith recently. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And like he was asking us to like breathe, all of us breathe together, and ask us if we could just be satisfied. And have gratitude that
just
we could just do that,
yes.
And have contentment, and then start thinking about our lives of what else I need to do.
Nice. Very nice. Thank you.
Just very simply, it seems so good to share gratitude because the feeling gets magnified in when I hear somebody else's gratitude. My own heart just flames up, and I think mudita comes up at somebody else's gratitude. So
feeling joy and their gratitude.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
As we talked about feeling grateful, like Gail, my heart opened, and I had then the feeling of gratitude without reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm, nice. Very nice. Yes.
I'm grateful for my family this time of year.
Yes.
I haven't seen one of my daughters in 9 months. She's been away at college, and another one is home, and we're all together. And it's just the joy to have them. I went hiking with one of my daughters up on the ridge, and we separated because she's a lot faster than I am. And I just looked around the Bay Area, and I can get sort of mired in all the traffic and all the cement and all the development. And I sat there up on the ridge and looked around. And I said, it was just a gorgeous day. And I thought, thank you.
Great. Thank you.
I noticed that I was feeling gratitude listening to everyone talk about their gratitude that came up, but for a moment, I felt so much gratitude for all the things we were talking about, but at the same time, I was hit with a tremendous sadness for something that I don't have and I really wanted, and that was a child. And so for me, I'm giving a lot to other children in my life, but when I wanted to ask you about that. When something, it's not like greed for to buy something, God forbid, but When if someone dies that you love, there might be gratitude for what they were, but this feeling of carrying both feelings about something.
Yeah.
Like I felt so much gratitude for what he was saying, and then I had gratitude and disappointment at the same time.
Sure, I think so. I think this idea of the heart or the mind becoming simpler and simpler, quieter, calmer, so there's a lot more space for things, then the heart has more space for the whole range of emotions and feelings we can have, and we can have a lot of ease and peace about having them. There can be a broken heart sometimes, but the broken heart, there's plenty of reasons in the world to have a broken heart, but that broken heart doesn't have to be a problem. It doesn't have to be a challenge. It's just there in an open way, and just like the gratitude is just there in an open way. And that ease, just having just be there in an open way, makes all this a lot easier. And in that space, a range of emotions can come through one after the other like a kaleidoscope. So there can be both happiness and sadness that follow each other. But hopefully it's a sadness that is very simple. It's not weighing down. It's not a disappointment. It's not a lost expectation. It's not a demand. It's not tied to a sense of self and, that if I could be a parent, then people would like me better, and I don't know, all kinds of other complicated things people do. But to keep it really simple, and it's possible to feel these things as part of something you're grateful for, even the sadness. Anybody else? One more here, all the way. Martha, Mike's on the stage, or Trudy has it.
So I thought your observation about opening space was really interesting because, in fact, in truth, there are things we don't have gratitude for, and things that we do. And I would say for me, the challenge would be to be more attentive to the things I do have gratitude for. But a way to do that, other than just being attentive or mindful about them, a way of opening that space wider?
Well, I think that learning a variety of ways of shedding the preoccupations of the mind, shedding greed, hate, and delusion. So those aren't operating, because those things make the mind claustrophobic, the heart claustrophobic. So there's a variety of ways to shed those, and one way is simply relax. So meditation and calming and slowing the mind down is a way of having these things kind of fall to the wayside. But wisdom is also very important. Wisdom meaning that they start seeing how greed operates, how we're hooked into it, and how it's overrated. And so as we get more wisdom about it, then we begin letting go of it. Also learning to develop the muscle of letting go. It's like I think of it as a muscle that needs to be strengthened. And as that muscle gets stronger and stronger, then it's easier to let go of the things that are not needed anymore. And so as we learn to let go of the greed or the fear that gets in the way. So there's a variety of things we can do to help the heart, help the mind become more and more open, make more space for it all. But it takes practice, so it's not something we can do overnight. So is that
yeah.
Okay? So one more over here.
So when we all got together, I just noticed, and I was thinking about this, for me, I think for all of us in the group, the boundary disappeared. We started to think about the things that we appreciated and listening to each other just dissolved any kind of a protective mechanism that we had going on. Maybe I'm just speaking for me.
Uh-huh.
And it was just really a really nice thing to have that dissolve between
nice,
us.
Nice, beautiful. So, and with that comes a deeper sense of connectedness.
Yes, and what we were saying it was all interesting, but it just kept going.
Beautiful. Great, thank you. So to end, I'd like to read a quote. And in my heart, it's not the quote is not directly not about gratitude, but in my heart, it's connected to what I've been talking about today. And maybe this comment about sadness and appreciation or happiness coexisting is part of it. But how far you go in life depends on your being tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, and tolerant of the weak and the strong. Because someday in life, you will have been all of these. George Washington Carver. Someday in life, you will have been all of these. So thank you all for this evening. Thank you all for this year. Thank you all for your practice, your interest. And I hope that you can spread the seeds of the gratitude out into the world. Good night.